to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Holy Gospel for this day, Jesus said, "So everyone who confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." On the night before he was crucified, in the upper room, in the presence of his 12 disciples, in his great high priestly prayer, Jesus prays to the Father, "Father, I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." That they may all be one. And yet, as far as our eyes can see, the church in this world is sadly divided, as we just sang, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. And so it has been from the very beginning. And if you doubt that, just read the New Testament scriptures, much of it having in fact been written to address the sad reality of strife and division in the earliest church. For example, St. Paul writes to the church in the city of Corinth, "It has been reported to me that there is quarreling among you. What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I belong to Paul,' or 'I belong to Apollos,' or 'I belong to Cephas,' or 'I belong to Christ.' Is Christ divided?" Yes, there have been divisions among Christians from the very beginning. And if we ask why, the answer is this. Although all those who have been baptized into Christ are fully and freely forgiven, so that in God's eyes, we are seen as clothed in the perfect holiness and righteousness of Jesus, in ourselves we still remain sinners who will always have to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses." We ourselves remain very imperfect sinners. And then there is Satan, of whom Dr. Luther's co-worker Philip Melanchthon says in his hymn for St. Michael's Day, with reference to Satan, "It always is his aim and pride the Christian people to divide. It always is his aim and pride the Christian people to divide." Yes, Satan and his minions, our own sinful selves, and the world which hates Christ and his truth, as we see more clearly with every passing day, these are the causes of disunity and strife in the church. And Satan's favorite trick is to try to confuse us, to distort, and if he can, to destroy the saving truth revealed in Christ, as we find Christ in the pages of Holy Scripture. Yes, from the very beginning, the church has suffered disunity, and the church's history is one long struggle against the devil, the world which knows not God, and the sin which still clings so closely even to God's dear children. And yet, in all this struggle, there have always been those who have remained faithful. We think of the holy martyrs who shed their blood for Christ. We think of the great fathers of the church who confessed the truth. And we think of all those countless simple Christians who by their lives have confessed Jesus Christ to be their Lord God and Savior. Today, we remember and we give thanks for those faithful confessors of the truth who 487 years ago today presented the confession of their faith to Emperor Charles V in the city of Augsburg in Bavaria in Germany. The emperor had summoned a council of his empire to meet him in Augsburg for two reasons. The first reason is that from without, the empire was threatened by the Turk, the militant Islamists of the 16th century, who had invaded Europe and were now at the gates of Vienna. The second reason the Emperor Charles called this council is that within the empire there was the religious controversy which had followed Martin Luther's call to repentance, his call to new obedience to the prophetic and apostolic scriptures, the written word of God. The Emperor Charles was a devout Christian, and he deeply desired a peaceful resolution of this controversy, so that his empire might present a united front against the invading Turk, the militant Islam of that day. And so late in the afternoon of June 25th, 1530, the seven Lutheran princes and the mayor and council of the cities of Reutlingen and Nuremberg presented the confession of their faith to the emperor. Little did they then know that this confession of their faith would be received and embraced by all who saw in it no sectarian innovation, no new and strange doctrine, but the one pure faith of the one Church of God, firmly grounded in God's Word and confessing the creeds confessed by the whole Church, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, which we just confessed, and the Athanasian Creed. As a faithful Lutheran congregation, this Augsburg confession is our confession. All our pastors must promise before God to teach in harmony with it. On the cornerstone of this church building, we find after the name of this church the letters UAC, which stand for Unaltered Augsburg Confession. And when this church was dedicated on September the 7th, 1930, Pastor William Dahlman, who years before had helped those few faithful laymen to order this congregation, preached a sermon with this title, Confessing Christ in Augsburg in 1530 and in Baltimore in 1930. The Augsburg home bears this name because of the Augsburg Confession. And in some parts of the world, for example in Poland, our Lutheran church is called the Church of the Augsburg Confession. This confession expresses the one pure faith of the one church, and so it remains an invitation to divided Christendom to find its unity again in confessing that one saving gospel of the free forgiveness of sins won by Christ in his death and bestowed on us through the means of grace, baptism, holy absolution, the preaching of the gospel, and the holy sacrament of Christ's body and blood. The teaching of this confession is the same teaching as found in the small catechism, which we all learned before we were confirmed. With all faithful Lutherans, we confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession, because there was sadly once an attempt to alter or change it in such a way that those who deny the real presence of the Savior's body and blood in the sacrament could also, of course, falsely claim that they too embraced this confession. As those who confess the unaltered Augsburg Confession, we joyfully confess the real presence in the Holy Sacrament and sing, "This feast is manna, wealth abounding unto the poor, to weak ones power, to angels joy, to hell confounding, and life for me in death's dark hour. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."